Psalm chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73. Psalm chapter 73, and we're going to be in verses 25 through 28 to start with. So Psalm 73, verses 25 through 28. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the beautiful day you've blessed us with. Thank you, Father, for just guiding us throughout today, and thank you for allowing us to be gathered together tonight. Thank you, Father, for the songs that remind us of our home in heaven. Reminds us, Father, of our relationship with you and reminds us of your love and your grace and your mercy. Father, I ask that you guide us through the scriptures tonight. And Father, that you would draw nigh unto us as we draw nigh unto you. And Father, you'd guide our hearts and our thoughts. And Father, that you would speak to us through your word in a very special way, that we'd walk away being encouraged, Lord, being challenged, Lord, just even being reminded of how good you are and that you're worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Father, I ask that you would continue to bless the mothers throughout this day. I pray, Father, that you would continue to encourage those that need to be encouraged. Remind us again, Father, the things we need to remember. Teach us the things we need to learn. Help us, Father, to continue to faithfully follow you and to faithfully trust you each and every day of our life. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to give us five reasons why we need to continue drawing near to God. As David writes here, as the psalmist writes in verse number 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. And it is good for God's people to continue drawing near to God each and every day of their life. But looking back at verse number 25 and the following, it says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. We know that God sits upon his throne in heaven, and we know that he walks with us upon this earth. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God's the strength of my heart and my portion forever. There's times where, again, we struggle, where we get to a place of not knowing what to do, but yet we know the God of heaven who has all wisdom and he has all the answers. He goes on to say, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Those that do not trust in the Lord, those that do not seek after the Lord, they're not blessed. They're not comforted with God's presence in their life. They don't have the fullness of the joy of the Lord. And verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Again, I want to give us some reasons tonight to continue drawing near to God. And the first reason I want us to think about tonight is the fact that God is our source of forgiveness. God is our source of forgiveness. Look with me at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. As we look at God being our source of forgiveness. We know God is a God of forgiveness. We know that we can come to him and have a repentant heart towards the Lord and he will forgive us. We know that he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. But there's times where we do need to be reminded that as we draw near to the Lord, it helps us to be reminded that God is a God of forgiveness. And sometimes when somebody, I'll say, sometimes it's not that you have unforgiveness towards somebody else. Sometimes the unforgiveness is towards yourself. People tend to be a lot harder on themselves at times. And that can cause some issues in that person's life. It can cause some paralysis in their spiritual walk with the Lord. But God is the God of forgiveness, and his forgiveness gives us the strength, the healing that we need to continue walking with him. In Luke chapter 7, look at verse 36 through 39, and then we'll jump down to verse 47. But Luke chapter 7, verse 36, Bob says that one of the Pharisees desired Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And skip down to verse 47. Jesus says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." Mary Magdalene comes to the Lord with this alabaster box, and she, no doubt, she knows that she has received grace from the Lord. She has received love and compassion that she's never had before. And she comes in with, I'll say, a broken heart, and she breaks the alabaster box and she anoints Jesus with that. But more, what's more touching to Jesus than the ointment is the tears, is the humility of Mary Magdalene, this woman that comes to Jesus. She came knowing that he was the source of forgiveness, and she hears him say, "Thy sins are forgiven." Again, the reason we draw near unto the Lord is because he is our source of forgiveness, even as a child of God. It's wonderful to know that our sins are forgiven, that we have a place in heaven. It's wonderful to know we have the gift of salvation. But it's great to know that every day of our life we have forgiveness for the Lord. That when we feel ourselves being hard upon ourselves, and we feel like, you know, we need the forgiveness of God, because the forgiveness of God does bring healing into our life. It helps us to be reminded of his love and his grace. Look at Psalm 147, because he is the source of forgiveness. We know that, and his forgiveness brings healing because he's the source of healing. Psalm 147. Now, the Bible does remind us that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, there's times where we do need to know the Lord hears us. We need to be healed on the inside. Sometimes there's a healing that nobody knows about that is needed, but our Heavenly Father knows that. I can just think of a child that is afraid to tell their parents that they broke something. And that child wrestles with that on the inside of going and tell the parent that they broke something, not knowing what is going to happen, not knowing how that's going to be received, and the struggle on the inside, and then finally just being able to say that something got broke and seeing the reaction of grace from that parent to that child, that you're not going to be punished. I mean, it was an accident, right? Sometimes when we are thinking about going to the Lord, again, we have an adversary that tries to resist our relationship with the Lord. But often it's not the devil. It's us battling with ourselves, wondering, will God accept my apology, accept me letting the Lord know that I didn't mean to do what I did, or whatever the case may be. Again, understanding that we do have forgiveness with the Father, we can come boldly into the throne room of grace, and his forgiveness does bring healing. It brought healing into the lives of many of the people that Jesus dealt with. The psalmist says in Psalm 147, verse 3, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." I mean, the Lord's forgiveness does bring healing into a person's life. It does remind us of his love and his grace. It helps us to move past the failures of life, to move past our own failures. It helps us to realize that God's grace is sufficient. Again, many accounts in the Gospels of Jesus dealing with people, and one that comes to mind as I think about Mary Magdalene is the unnamed woman that was caught in adultery, and she was dragged to Jesus in the temple, cast at his feet, and was told the law says she must be stoned. What do you say? And when the conversation, when the whole ordeal is over, the accusers leave because Jesus doesn't say a word. He stoops down, he writes in the sand. And there's been many, many people to wonder, you know, what did he write in the sand? And many wonderful messages that have been preached and taught about what it could have been. But the fact is, as conviction fell upon those accusers, and Jesus says, ye without sin, cast the first stone. And every one of her accusers left because of their own conviction of their sin. And when Jesus looks up and only sees the woman there and not her accusers with her, says, where are thine accusers? And she says, they're not here. He says, well, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. I mean, as Jesus just dealt with sinners and publicans and he healed people, they could sense, they experienced the forgiveness of Christ. They experienced the forgiveness of God, which brought healing into their life. Again, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. There may be those that will not forgive you for one reason or another, for something you did or didn't do, but we always have forgiveness with God. We can always come to God knowing that he will forgive. Look at 1 John 1:9. You're very familiar with 1 John 1:9, but let's look at it. Because it's a wonderful promise from God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's never a moment in a child of God's life that they cannot draw nigh to God. God tells us, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. But even before that, it says, resist the devil. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Listen to the truth of God's word. God says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and he'll give you rest. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Because the third reason that we can draw near to God is he is the one from whom we learn. We learn that we can trust him. We learn that he has forgiveness for us and that he can heal the broken in heart. He can give us the grace that we need, give us the strength that we need. Paul said that he'd rather have the power of Christ upon his life because the power of Christ helps us to live a victorious life. Again, we have an adversary that's always wanting to convince us not to draw near to God. Again, using children as an illustration, when a child does something that maybe in direct disobedience to the parent, or they do something out of accident, again, breaking something, and there's that temptation of, oh no, I cannot say anything. And the temptation is to hide what you did, but that eats up the inside. There's no peace, there's no rest. Even thinking about David and his sin with Bathsheba and having Uriah, her husband, murdered. And he tried to hide it. He tried just to forget it, and it was eating him up on the inside. But because of God's love and grace, God speaks to David through the prophet Nathan and gives David an opportunity to confess what he did. And David confesses, and David writes Psalm 51. There was healing that was brought into his life because he stopped hiding what he did. Now, he still suffered the, you know, he still had family issues from that moment on because of what he did, but his relationship with God was restored. And that's the healing that God brings, because we need our relationship with the Lord. We need to have that forgiveness with God that brings healing into our life, that we learn that we have rest unto our souls. Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The struggles of life, really, the battle is found on the inside. The inside of what Paul said, the things I would do, I don't do, the things I don't want to do, I do. That struggle on the inside to do what we know God wants or to do what we know we want to do, whether it's right or wrong. There's that struggle on the inside, and the Lord says, hey, let go of what you want. Let go of your struggles. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And as we learn of the Lord, we learn his grace is sufficient. We learn that his strength is the strength that we need in our life. We learn that he has sufficient amount of grace for us, and he supplies our every need according to his riches in Jesus Christ. Now, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. In Psalm 34, verse 11, the psalmist says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." The fear of the Lord speaks of reverence, not terror, but reverence and awe for our God. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I'll teach you the reverence of God. I'll teach you the holiness of God. I will teach you to learn how to respect a God who loves us, a God who has our best interest in mind. As we draw near to the Lord, we draw near to the one from whom we learn. The psalmist said in 143, verse 10, "Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Teach me to do thy will. When we have a heart for the will of God, there is a peace that passeth all understanding on the inside. There may still be some resistance on the outside, but if we're surrendered on the inside to the will of God, there's comfort. Even though there may be resistance on the outside, there's comfort on the inside that God is helping us and that God will continue to guide our steps as the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Again, you and I have an adversary that wants to prevent us from drawing near to God, wants to prevent us from being reminded that God says, "Come unto me." God wants us to come unto him. Again, when you think about a child and a parent relationship, the parent, a good, loving parent, wants to help a child understand that even when they do wrong, they're still loved. And the parent will still help them. The parent will still be there for them. And God reminds us that as we draw near unto him, he's always there for us. He always has our best interest in mind. There are things that he wants us to learn, and he wants us to have a heart of trust towards him. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, as we think about the truth that he is the one to whom we owe thanks. We continue to draw near unto the Lord because he is the one to whom we owe thanks. We owe thanks for his forgiveness. We owe thanks for the healing that he brings into our life at different times. We owe him thanks for the lessons that he teaches us for our good. In Luke 17, verse 12 through 16, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Again, you know that the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews. The Jews were very prejudiced against the Samaritans, and so much that they would not even go through the towns of Samaria. They would go out of their way not to have the dust of the Samaritan cities upon their feet. Yet Jesus shows love and compassion. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't judge a person based on their nationality. He judges them based on their soul, a soul that's in need. 10 men needed cleansing. 10 men received cleansing, but only 1 out of 9 came back to give glory to God. Only 1 out of 9 came back to give thanks to the one who had touched his life by his healing power. When was the last time that we drew near to God just to give him the thanks that he is deserving of? The thanks for what he's done today, Lord, giving me another day, helping me through the day. When was the last time you even thanked the Lord for the gift of salvation? Now, you might be saved, and you might have been saved, you know, different ages in here, spiritual ages. Maybe you've been saved for 50 years. Maybe you've been saved for 10 years. Maybe you've been saved for 2 months. But when was the last time you thanked the Lord for that gift of salvation? The gift of salvation that reminds us I have forgiveness with the Heavenly Father. That forgiveness gives me the healing that I need, and I continue to learn about the grace of God in my life. I continue to learn that I can come to the Lord with anything, and he always has the answer for exactly what I'm going through, or the answer for just direction in life. But we need to make sure that we always give thanks to the Lord for the things he does in our life, never letting a moment go by that we praise him for what he's done. Because as we draw near to God, we see that we're nothing and he's everything. I know of people who have said, well, you know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to give God a piece of my mind. I've got some questions that God's going to have to answer. You know what? Paul had that same attitude. Paul had that attitude that, you know what? Everybody that was not going his direction, he was going to fight against them, and his direction was the direction of his faith, what he thought was right. But when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and the glory of the Lord shone round about him, and he was blinded by the glory of Christ, he didn't demand anything from the Lord. He didn't demand questions to be answered. When he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Jesus responds with, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." When he heard Christ speak, his response was, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" You know what? The closer we get to the Lord, the more that we realize what I want doesn't matter. What I think is right or wrong doesn't matter. He's always right. And he has my best interest in mind, and I have not received what I am due. I've not gotten what I deserve in life. He's given me what I don't deserve, and that is a relationship with him. So we draw near to the Lord, giving him thanks for learning about his love and grace in our life. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We're reminded that every good thing in life comes from God. Every good thing in life comes from God. And sometimes good things come out of bad situations. But God is the Father who gives good gifts to his children. And we need to thank the Lord every day for what he does in our life. Not just the gift of life, but even the gift of, "Lord, thank you for helping me to understand how to accomplish that. Help, thank you, Lord, for just helping me through the day and helping me not to complain." Because we're often tempted to complain. But God wants us to be reminded that he's there for us. Drawing near to the Lord reminds us of our frailty and reminds us of his greatness. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13. "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God." Everything that God allows in our life is for our good and His glory. Thanking the Lord again, just, I mean, as I think about it, just there's many things we take for granted in life. Being able to eat solid foods. You know, there are people today who can't eat solid foods. They have to be fed through a feeding tube. My father-in-law, before he passed away, he was bedridden for years after having a stroke and having to be fed through a feeding tube. And sometimes we take for granted just the ability to wake up and to walk. I think as we draw near to the Lord every day in prayer, and even in our hearts and minds as we spend time with the Lord, it reminds us, you know what? Life is frail, and Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this moment in my life. Help me, Lord, to always recognize your goodness in my life. But even drawing near to the Lord helps us to be reminded that, you know what? Without the Lord, we cannot make it. Without the Lord, we cannot make it physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Look at Luke chapter 8, if you would. This is the fifth reason why we are to continue drawing near to the Lord, because He's the one who gives us rest. He gives us physical rest, emotional rest, and spiritual rest. He's the one that gives us the peace that passeth all understanding. But in Luke chapter 8, you look at verse 26 and 27, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when He went forth to land, there met Him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time. You know, there's things in life that we struggle with for a long time. Some struggles in life may just be for a day. Others may be for months. Some for years. And you know, the account of this man that was demon-possessed, the demoniac of Gadara, where he had many, many devils. The Bible says that when Jesus gave those demons leave out of the man's life, they entered into 2,000 swine, and those swine ran violently off a cliff into the sea. The fact that his life was out of control. He could not even rein in his life. He couldn't bring in his life and get control over it, and nobody else could help him. But aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ can help anybody? He can help us with any struggles in our life. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. In verse 35, then they went out to see what was done. The townspeople that had tried helping him, tried constraining him, tried changing him. And they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid because they knew who he was. They knew what type of wild man he was and how he was out of control and how they couldn't help him, and they didn't even want him in the city. Yet when they saw him sitting quietly in his right mind, clothed, they were afraid. Some people are afraid at what Jesus does in a person's life. Because when someone has tried to do it all themselves, and Jesus changes that life, some people don't understand that. But the person whose life has been changed, they're grateful for the peace that has come into their life through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Tonight's message is not very long, just reminding us to continue drawing near unto the Lord. Never giving place to the devil. Never allowing your adversary to take that away. Convincing you not to draw nigh unto the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. We draw near to the Lord because we need rest. You know what? Even if God doesn't give us the answer we're seeking for, yet we know that in His presence is the fullness of joy. We know that when we sit with the Lord, our thinking will change. We know that He will give us what we need, and He often gives us what we need, but it's not what we think. The Lord knows exactly what we need. The Lord gives us that grace. Paul wanted that thorn in the flesh to be removed. Sometimes we seek God to remove things that are troubling us, things that are hindering us, things that we're tired of facing, things we're tired of struggling with. Lord, just remove it. And yet, like Paul, sometimes God says, no, I'm going to leave that there. But my grace is going to help you. My strength will help you in your weakness. Because sometimes God allows things to remain in our life so that we will stay close to Him. Now, the devil wants to use those things to cause us to push God away. God's given us that free will to choose whether we're going to draw close to Him, whether He takes away whatever it is that's hindering us or bothering us, whatever that thorn is. God uses it for good, but God wants us to rely upon His grace and not the thorn being removed. That's why Paul was able to say, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon my life, because that's what we need. We don't necessarily need things in our life to change that we think are wrong. We need the power of Christ in our life. We need the presence of God in our life. We need God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. And drawing near to the Lord puts everything back into perspective. Because as we think, well, you know, life would be better if this was different, when we seek the Lord reminds us, no, it necessarily won't be different. Because what if God gave us everything we wanted? Hezekiah was told by God, get your house in order. You're about to go home. You're about to be with me. Your time on this earth is coming to an end. And Hezekiah went home and he wept. He was grieved. He begged God to give him some more time. And God gave him 15 more years. But in those 15 years, his heart turned away from God. Hezekiah thought he wanted 15 more years. And God knew his heart would turn away, but God still gave him what he wanted. What I'm saying is God knows what's best. And when God does not give us what we want, we have to draw near to God and understand, you know what? His grace is sufficient. His will is perfect. There's a reason why he's not doing this, or there's a reason why he is doing this. We have to rely upon the goodness of God. You go back to Psalm 73, and this is why the psalmist says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. And what are all the works? You know what? There's not a single work we cannot declare that God's done. Again, even if he did not answer the prayer request according to our desire, yet God always does what is right. Again, the psalmist says, who have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. There's nobody in your life that cares more about you than God. There's nobody in your life that has your best interest in mind than God. Now, there are people you have in life that do love you, and they would have your best interest in mind, but God has the ultimate interest in mind. And his interest is for us to draw near unto him, to spend that quality time in his presence, relying upon his strength, allowing him to be our rock. The psalmist again says in verse 26, my flesh, my heart faileth, but God's the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So what if I don't get everything I want? So what if everything doesn't go perfectly right? Yet God is my strength. God shows his love and his grace through those difficult moments in life. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. One of the greatest ways for us to continue drawing near to God is to declare his goodness, is to declare what he's done in our life, to thank him for what he's done. Like I said earlier, praising him for the gift of salvation that he's given you. Praising him for allowing you to be alive, allowing you to be able to think. Thinking and meditating upon his goodness and the truth of his word. Praising his name, giving him all the glory that's due unto his name. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, we're reminded, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You and I were created for God's pleasure. And his pleasure is to walk with us, as he walked with Adam in the cool of the garden, in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, as he walked with Enoch. And God couldn't bear to have Enoch on this earth any longer, so he transfigured Enoch. He took Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, because God took him. God desires to have that walk with you and me, and he desires for us to continue drawing near to him so that he's glorified, we're encouraged, we're strengthened, and we have the joy of the Lord